tell you the story of Jesus, some of the story today. It's been over a month since we continued our series on the miracles of the Bible. And now we've come to the Gospels, and so we're considering the miracles of Jesus Christ. There are over 30 of them, under 40, that at least are recorded. And there's a couple sections where it says that they brought many to him to be healed of their diseases, and he healed them. So technically, if you counted those, there were more than 40. But if you just consider each incident as one, then really only roughly 35 or so, maybe a couple more, are recorded. And so I'd like to tell you about the story of Christ's miracles. Consider a few more today. I'm asking you to hold your hat. I'm going to read a few verses in different spots so you can get the gist of what I'm trying to say today. We'll turn first of all to the book of Luke, to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. So hang on as we go forward a little bit, beginning with Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, commencing with verse 31. Jesus came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Here's the first miracle we consider today. And in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean devil. Obviously, he had demons. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue, and entered into Simon's house, Simon Peter. And Simon's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. By the way, Simon's wife's mother indicate that Simon had a wife, and Peter was married. Contrary to many who say that Peter was never married, the Bible indicates that he was. And his mother-in-law had a great fever, and they besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. And what I was referring to later is shown in verse 40, that there were times that many sick with diverse diseases were brought to Christ, and he healed them. But we rush along to chapter 6, beginning with verse 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath, they entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it?" And looking round about all them, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed with one another what they might do with Jesus. Chapter 13, verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, And she was bowed together. She was bowed over. Her back was bent over and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto him, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. When I was in Little League as a little boy, we had a man that was very kind. He did a lot of work there, but the man walked like this. We knew him from the very beginning, and he never stood up straight, but yet he was always there doing work and service and just a real humble man. But every time I read this, I can't help but think of the older man there in Little League. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. Anybody know what the dropsy is? The word water is found in this word dropsy. It's where a person just retains water. Maybe Sarah could describe it more, but apparently the evidence is bloating, I would assume, and just very much pressure in his body, very just uncomfortable. He had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And Jesus answered them, saying, Which of you which have an ass or an ox fallen into the pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. John chapter 5. John 5, verse 8. Jesus saith unto him, this was a man who was lame in his feet and his legs, Rise up, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. 7:22. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry with me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. John 9, verse 14. This is the man that was born blind, and Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. 9:14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And finally, Mark chapter 16 and verse 9. Can anyone guess this last miracle that occurs on the Sabbath day? Mark chapter 16 and verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. What do these passages all have in common? I could have taken each of the miracles separately, but I just felt that they're in a package together by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. What do these passages all have in common? Number one, they record 8 miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ. 8 of the some 35 miracles that He performed. Secondly, they record 8 miracles that were all performed by our Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, they record 8 miracles performed by our Lord on the Sabbath or sacred day. No other day is singled out as a particular time when Christ taught, preached, and healed, but the Sabbath day. Oh, no doubt He performed miracles on other days than the Sabbath day. But this records a particular miracle done on a particular day. If you think of even the percentage that over, if there were some 35 miracles and a couple others were performed on the Sabbath, we're close to 25% of what Jesus did as far as miracles are concerned. He did them on the sacred day of the Lord. What can we learn from this fact, and this really a revelation and observation? That the Sabbath miracles of Christ reveal that this day is special to the Lord, one in which we can pray for and expect Him to work among His people, and one which we should take His example and seek to do good, to do well, while this time is set aside for us to serve the Lord and to reach others. The first thought is regarding miracles on the Sabbath day, is the Sabbath day is special to the Lord. Isn't it interesting how the Lord records that? He didn't just say there was a man with a dropsy in the synagogue, but He records that it was on the Sabbath that 8 of these miracles took place. Obviously, this particular day is recorded in the 10 Commandments. We have to remember that number 4, the 4th commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God gave the Sabbath at the beginning of creation. He reiterated it when Israel was delivered from Egypt. He reiterated it again after they were some 40 years in the wilderness in Deuteronomy. And of course, here we are, a couple thousand years after Deuteronomy, and the Lord is giving some observations in the days that He lived. The Sabbath day is a day that's special to God because He wants us to remember that He created us. The Bible says, in 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth, the seas and all that in them is, and rested the 7th day. He wants us to remember. You see, we've got to remember that God created the world. And He wants us to take time to ponder that, to give Him thanks that we are not just the result of an explosion, and we're not just the result of chance and accident, that God is our Creator and we owe allegiance to Him. In Exodus, He didn't want them just to remember that He was their Creator, but He wanted them to set aside a day to ponder, to think of God on purpose, that He also was their Redeemer. He created them and He redeemed them. Remember, it says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. In Deuteronomy, He says that you're to rest, and in Exodus 2, you're to rest your servants. And Deuteronomy says, look, you were servants in the land of Egypt. And they didn't let you rest there. That's the idea. But I want you to let your servants rest, so they might ponder too that God created them. And I want you to remember, I delivered you from the land of Egypt. In other words, the Lord wants us to take aside a day, His day, to remember that He's our Creator and He's our Savior. We're to think of Him on purpose. He knows man is so busy, and after the fall of man and the entrance of sin, He knew that many things would vie for our attention, and they do, and that we need a day to ponder our God as Creator and Redeemer. From the beginning of the world to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Sabbath day was Saturday. It was the seventh day. And from the resurrection of Christ to the end of the world, the Sabbath day is the first day of the week. Why do you think Christians meet on the first day? Why do you think why don't Christians meet on Saturday? Because the early believers understood that when Christ rose from the dead, that the special day of His people, the Sabbath day, was changed from Saturday to Sunday, from the seventh to the first day of the week. He rose the first day of the week. He met with them on the first day of the week. He met with them on the second Sunday as Thomas was there. He met with them at Pentecost, which was a Sunday, a first day of the week. And you read the early accounts of our forefathers after Christ rose. John, it says, was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And he meant by that Lord's Day being that it was the first day of the week. It says that Paul met with the Christians on the first day of the week and broke bread with them, Acts chapter 20. He told the Corinthians to lay aside their offerings on the first day of the week. Why? Because they were meeting on the first day of the week. That was a very convenient time to set aside offerings for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And so by precept and by example, the Lord showed that from the resurrection of Christ to the end of the world, that Sunday is the sacred day of God now. And His people are to set that aside for His own glory. We can understand special days. We creatures have special days, don't we? Birthdays. Isn't that a special day to set aside your spouse and your child's birthday once a year and especially appreciate that? Yesterday, our oldest celebrated her 22nd birthday. I wish we could have been with Jessica. But we texted her and talked, and Tanya talked with her. I couldn't get through to her to say personally that I wish that I could have been there, but it was a special day. I wish we could have celebrated it with her. Anniversaries are special days, aren't they? Once a year, we remember wedding anniversaries. There are national days that countries observe, July 4th. There are holidays, Memorial Day, New Year's Day. These are appropriate for individuals and families or nations to observe one day a year, to set it aside, to ponder something special that happened on that day, whether V-Day or VE Day or whether Independence Day. Isn't it appropriate? No one says, well, wait a minute, you know, that's sacrilegious or you know, that's inappropriate. That is inconvenient for me. And yet, the Creator of our souls and the Maker of our bodies, does He not have the right to say, I don't want just one day a year? I made you. I redeemed you. I want you to take one day a week to remember me, to remember what I've done. Would anybody, and yet many have said, that's inconvenient. If God said, I want you to take a Sabbath once a year, all the world would have said, well, I guess that's okay. But there'd be still people saying, that's inconvenient. The Lord has the right to set the week. And by the way, He gave us a seven-day week. He knew our frame. And the Lord Jesus said, He's the Son of Man, and He's the Lord of the Sabbath day. Whether it's inconvenient or not, the Lord is testing us. Do you love me more than these? Love God and keep His commandments. The Lord Jesus, as His manner was, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and He was about His Father's business. And the miracles that Jesus performed on the Sabbath day tells us that this day was special, that He performed this special work on a special day to show people that this was God's day and that He was honoring God. And He was showing people that, secondly, they need to expect the Lord to work on this day. If it's special to the Lord, Yet he said it's made for man. Isn't that condescending? It's the Lord's day. And yet the Bible says that God made the Sabbath for man. It's the Lord's day, and yet it's God's gift to us. And that's an amazing thing. It's a day for us to worship God and serve Him. And yet, He says, it's a gift to you. The miracles on the Sabbath by Christ tell us, I believe, we can ask and expect the Lord to work especially on this, what the Puritans used to call His market day. Look at the variety of miracles that He performed. Demon possession. He exercised the soul. He worked. He released the soul from the bondage of demonism. The fever. He reached Peter's mother-in-law. He healed her head, her body. A withered hand. A bowed woman, her back was healed. The dropsy, a body that was swelled. He healed. A lame person, the legs and the feet, the blind, the eyes, the dead. Yea, Christ raised Himself from the dead on that first Sunday Sabbath of history. Oh, how the Lord is able to do great things to our soul and to our bodies. He's able. And let's take this spiritual. Is He not able to open our eyes spiritually on this day, to heal our souls, to save our souls, to set our feet so that we might seek Him and take the gospel to others? Are you persecuted or tempted by demons? Is not the Lord here to heal today? Are you weighed down by sin and care and bowed over like this woman was physically bowed over? Is not the Lord here to touch and lift you from those cares and forgive you of those sins? Are you timid and cowardly? Cannot the Lord strengthen your heart? Are you blind to the truth? Can He not open your eyes today? Are you slow to obey? Can He not cause you to be swift to hear and swift to obey? Are you paralyzed to service? Is He not able to cause you to take up your bed and walk? Are you dead to God today and alive to sin? Can He not raise you from the dead and give you hope? Interesting that Luke, the beloved physician, recorded the unusual cases, the bowed back and the dropsy. Christ knows our needs and our dilemmas. He knows the unusual cases, and He's able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. John, the beloved disciple, recorded the seeming impossible cases. The man who was born blind. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. You may think you have an impossible case. But the Lord has arranged that people set aside this day so that His Word is preached. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing is by the Word of God. Why do you think the Puritans called it the market day of the Lord? Because they knew that this was the day that His Word was preached all over the world. And that when His Word is preached and saints meet together to worship Him, God is present to heal. God is present to save. Where the Word of the Lord is, there is power. Christ answered His false accusers when they accused Him of breaking the Sabbath. He said, "My Father worketh, and I work." That was His answer. We're working especially on this day. It's made for man. And if man honors me, we will honor them. If they seek me, I will be found of them. That's the answer that He was giving him. Now, yes, He works on the other days of the week, but that was His answer to the Pharisees. We're working. We're working works of mercy and works of necessity and works of piety. We're working among our people. Though it's a day to set aside, we are active. We are active. Those who seek me will find me if they seek me with all their heart. These miracles on the Sabbath by Christ tell us that we can expect Him to work this day. Oh, He works every other day of the week, but have you expected Him to work in your heart today? You're here to seek Christ, I trust. Do you have a need? Are you overlaid with cares and anxieties and difficulties? The Lord is here to say, stretch out that hand that maybe has been hidden in your bosom. Stretch out that hand to reach out to others. The Lord is here to enlarge that heart that has been cold. The Lord is here to save that soul that is bound in sin. The Lord is here to quicken our feet that we might take the gospel to lost souls. The Lord is here to open our eyes to behold wondrous things from His Word. What do we expect from Christ today? Do we expect miracles? Have we looked for the Lord to work in our hearts? Have we expected Him to work? Be it according to your faith. It's a special day to Christ. He worked these miracles as recorded, and He's here to work today. My Father worketh and I work. Oh, that the Lord would work in our hearts today. Oh, that the Lord would save souls and revive us again that we might rejoice in Him. The Lord gave us an example, did He not? It is lawful to do good, to do well on the Sabbath day. It's proper for us to look for, He's given us a day. It's time for us to get away from our own mundane things, isn't it? To look out. Here's a day that God has given us to be free, to serve Him, to worship Him, to do good to others. He answered the question about legitimate works on God's market day. I mean, He basically gives us the three categories. He said in Matthew 12:11, "What man of you having one sheep, if he fall into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not lay hold on it and raise it? How much more does a man surpass a sheep?" In other words, look for opportunities to show mercy to people on this day. If there's someone in a snowbank, someone with a flat tire, help him out of the bank. Is there a person in a hospital or in hospice? Go visit them and show mercy. Is there a person in prison? Go visit them and show that God has mercy on prisoners. He can forgive sins. Is a person in a nursing home that needs someone to read the Scriptures? Surely there's an opportunity to do good. A shut-in in a home to be visited today? The Lord Jesus says, look, you will pull an animal out of a ditch, but will you not go reach a human being on the Lord's day? These Pharisees wouldn't let people do works of mercy. Yet they would allow their servant to take their sheep out of the ditch or their donkey out of the ditch. The Lord said, works of mercy are appropriate. Go and do thou likewise. Secondly, He said in Luke 13:15, does not each one of you loose his ox or his mule on the Sabbath and lead him away to drink? You'll take your animal out of a ditch, but you'll also take your animal from the stall to the watering trough. In other words, it's a work of necessity. They need to drink. They need to eat. Remember in Matthew 12, His disciples were in the field and He had said back in the Old Testament that the people were not to cut the corners of their field so that the poor would have wheat to eat. And here they were rubbing their hands together to have enough wheat to eat as they were passing through the field. And the Pharisees had said, that's work. Christ said, no, that's a work of necessity. We've got to eat meals. And it's a blessing that we can have a meal after the service today, to show that we do care, that we take care of the bodies. People shower, medicine, and doctors and nurses. We need protection, so the soldiers are still at work guarding our country, guarding our borders. The police are at work guarding us from criminals who would take advantage of people meeting their God. For comfort, and how the Lord is kind to us, there are people that have to work to restore electricity and gas and telephone to people as works of necessity. And of course, the Lord wants us to be released, thirdly, for works of piety. John 7, do they not circumcise on the eighth day if it occurred on the Sabbath day? Were they not careful to maintain the law of God and to observe religious duties? And Thessalus' manner was he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. In other words, that was the right thing for him to do, to observe worship, public worship. He heard the word growing up. It says that his understanding was enlightened. They were impressed with his understanding and his answers. As their manner was, Joseph and Mary and the Lord himself took the Sabbath and laid it aside. They didn't work in their carpenter shop on the Sabbath day. They went into the synagogue and heard the word of God. The Lord Jesus took the opportunity to teach and preach, to pray, to sing, to worship. And he wants us to take the opportunity to do the same, to worship him, to serve him, to evangelize, to reach souls with the gospel. Works of piety. People need Christ. They need to know that salvation is available to all who call upon the name of the Lord. How beautiful are the feet of them that bear good tidings, the Bible says. And the Lord set us an example. It's lawful for us to go about doing good. We've been loosed from the pit of sin and the slavery of a Sabbathless life to serve the living and saving God. Let's be thankful for His gift because it was made for us. The Son of Man used it as that which He received as a man and that which He gave us as our Lord. Let us acknowledge the work of the Lord that He has done in us and for us and by us on this special day. You know, I can say that God saved me on the Lord's day. Certainly, He's not limited to this day. May we not draw a false conclusion from this. But let us ask the Lord to bless us, especially on this market day and throughout the week. Because if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and we honor Him at the outset of the week, can we not expect then the Lord to bless us throughout the week? How can we presume upon the Lord and profane a day that He set aside for blessing and treat it like another day and then expect Him to bless us the rest of the week? Oh no, friend, let us realize that we reap what we've sown. Let us sow obedience to God at the outset of this week and expect the Lord to work mightily throughout. Let us follow Christ's example to do works of mercy and necessity and piety. We can't work miracles, but God can through the mercy and necessity and piety deeds of His people as we seek to reach others with the gospel of Christ. This is the package the Lord gave us. I didn't take each of these miracles. I'm sure there's an application somewhere if we took them individually. But these eight miracles, finally with Christ being raised from the dead, indicate that God has set aside a special day, and that day is the first day of the week from the resurrection of Christ to the end of the world. And you know what? In heaven, it will be one long rest day for God's people, and they will rest from their labors. And what works the Lord will do in our hearts throughout eternity. Are you looking forward to eternity? Are you looking forward to being with the Lord and sitting at His feet, hearing His word, feeling the work of His power in your soul, changing you more and more and more into His image? Let this be a foretaste of glory divine. The Sabbath miracles of Christ tell us that this day is special to Him and that we can expect Him to do special things for the church and for people on this day. And let us follow His example and go about doing good. He gives us a whole day to worship Him, to serve Him, to find good works to perform, not only for the people of God, but for all people. As it says in Galatians, let us do good to all men, and especially they that are the household of faith. Brethren and sisters, let's take the Lord seriously. God wants us to prove Him with this, to prove His goodness and His grace. A Sabbath well spent will be noticed in our hearts, in our congregation, in the community around us. Oh, may the Lord rend the heavens and come down and make himself known. Shall we pray? Oh God, we thank thee that you created our souls and you made our bodies. We are accountable to thee. We thank thee, Lord, that when we fell into sin, that it was not in your heart to cast us away into everlasting darkness, that you sought to redeem us, and you have redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, we thank thee that thou art the Lord of the Sabbath day. We pray, Father, that we would be delivered from the legalistic, heartless keeping of the Sabbath that we are warned of in the lives of the Pharisees. Lord, we pray that we would see it as a gift from God, that we would be humbly thankful. Lord, we would use this gift to spread abroad the fame of Christ, to reach souls, to do good to all men. We pray, Lord, that you would open doors and lead us in ministering to precious souls who need the gospel, who need a drink of the truth, who need the bread of life. Lord, help us. We thank thee that as we see the world like a fast-moving stream, we feel, Lord, that we in these many things are just being swept downstream with them. And I thank thee that you tell us to get off that river, as it were, and go into the green pastures, to take time to be holy, to take time to pause, to think of our God on purpose, to ponder the things of heaven. Oh Lord, I thank thee for your wisdom. Please help us. Bless thy people. We need thee. We're waiting upon thee. Our souls need to be refreshed. We trust that the Spirit is here to continue working, conforming us to Christ's image, saving souls. Lord, do this work today. Walk in the midst. Work miracles in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. Thou art able even in our bodies. May our conversation please thee. May we think thy thoughts and find thy pleasures and speak thy words. Cause us to ride upon the high places of the earth. Feed us with the heritage of Jacob our father. Cause us to delight in the Lord today, to know that God is our refuge. The Lord is our light and our salvation. Whom have we in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that we desire beside thee. Lord, make the world to know that there is a living and true God. Keep working throughout this consecrated day, saving thy people, reviving thy work, preparing us for heaven. And give thee thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.